Alright, well, this is my first time in this gym actually. Pretty nice, cozy. And so I'm not the EM pastor here. If it's your first time, I'm the youth pastor here. So welcome if you're new. And let us all look into the Bible and see the Word of God together at this time. It's 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, we'll see together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. If you don't have your Bible, please share with your neighbor. And I like to do this with the youth too. Let us all rise and receive God's word together. We rise when there's honored guests in the house, right? So that's why we rise together. And we're going to read the passage. I'll read the passage, actually. And at the end, I'll say, this is word of God. And you guys respond by, thanks be to God. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. This is word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the question I want to ask this morning is, who here likes money? Everybody, right? Who here wants to be rich? Right? No one wants to be poor, right? I mean, we live in the wealthiest part of the United States, and not like even in like the whole world probably, right? And I'm from Texas, so I don't really understand why the rent is so expensive here. Like young ones, you guys probably don't know how much your rent is, right? But then to kind of give a comparison, how much you pay for your houses right now, if you go to Texas, with the same amount, you can get a house that is twice as big, right? That's how much of a wealth difference is here. This is really expensive area because this is the wealthiest part of this country, right? And I'm what you call a 1.5 gen immigrant, which means I grew up with no money. My parents were always working really hard, right, to survive, right? And I didn't have like allowances, right? So I would usually, get during high school, I would get like really crappy used car that sometimes cost like $500 that would last like a year until it breaks down, just so that I can go and flip burgers for my lunch money. Right? That's the standard I grew up in. So I can't really relate to you guys when you guys get like a $1,000 smartphone in middle school. Like, is that even legal? You're not even responsible enough to carry that around in your pocket, right? But you guys think it's normal, but it's not normal, right? But so I can't really relate that much. And some of you guys say that, man, like you guys are privileged to live in such a wealthy area. But I would say it's actually really troubling to live in this area for our soul. Because the more we have of wealth, the harder it is to let that go. Because we get consumed by wealth. So today, we're obviously going to talk about money, right? Money, which is a sensitive topic in church, I think. But specifically, we'll look at two things, right? First thing we're going to look at is offering required for Christians? Yes. Oh, is offering required? Like, as Christians living in 21st century, are we obligated to give offering? That's the first thing. Second thing we're going to look at is being rich bad? Right? Is money an evil thing? Those are the two things we're going to talk about. And through it all, I pray that we get to the same point that giving offering is not only about only good for the kingdom of God, but it is actually good for us. Giving offering is actually good for us. To kind of give a background about offering, we have to go way back into the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, I'm not going to talk about the sacrificial laws, but specifically, all the Israelites were required to give two types of offering that is related to wealth, right? Specifically about wealth. So the first thing they had to give was first fruit offering, right? Which is basically, whenever you get some kind of income, you give the first fruit of that. So back then, it was agriculture and flocking, all that society, right? So out of the harvest, the first harvest you give to God, right? If your lamb born a baby lamb, right? You give the first, right, to God. And that is a recognition that God is a provider, and everything that follows after this first fruit belongs to God as well. So for today's context, let's say you have a part-time job, right? Let's say you got hired at In-N-Out, which I think pays way too much here. You pay like $16, right? It's crazy, right? But let's say you got a really good part-time job, In-N-Out, right? And you flip burgers, or you call out like customer number 32 or something, right? And then you got your first paycheck, right? You worked hard, you got your first paycheck. However much it is, if we're in the Old Testament times, the first paycheck belongs to God, and we give it to it. Because, and then afterwards, we're giving recognition that all the paychecks follows belongs to God as well. Second is tithing, which I think is more well known in our days. How many guys do tithing? Yeah, I expected a lot more hands. Tithing is something we know. What is tithing? Does anybody know? Eric, what is tithing? Two-tenths of your... Two-tenths? Okay, very close, but... yes, Chris. Huh? One-tenth, yeah? Yeah, exactly, right? It is giving 10% of your income to God. And let me explain why. In the Old Testament, this was for the Levites. As you guys know, there's tribes, right? 12 tribes, right? And then all the tribes got land, except for Levites, so that Levites can focus on priest work. Right? They didn't have land to farm, they didn't have land to flock, so they didn't have any income. They couldn't survive. So God actually made a plan for his workers so that they can survive, which was all the tribes were to give 10% each so that Levites can focus on the priest work, which is basically, in today's term, the pastors. Right? Also, at the same time, it was an offering, recognize that even though we're giving 10%, the whole 100% comes from God and it belongs to him. So there's a dual meaning there. So in today's term, if you've earned $10, how much you tithe? One. If you've earned $100, how much you should tithe? 10. Right? It's not rocket science, right? It's super easy. You just gotta take out zero. Right? You don't need a calculator on your phone, right? You don't need to be, you know, super smart in math. Right? So that's tithing. Right? So those are the two offerings that is related to wealth according to the Old Testament, and both of these offering had different forms, but in the end, they had the same meaning. That God is a provider, and by giving this offering to him, you're recognizing that God is in control, and everything actually belongs to God. Now the big question is, so that's the Old Testament time, what about today? Do we have to do this offering in such a way? Do we have to give first fruit offering? Do we have to give tithe? Are we obligated as God's people? So let's try this. Show of hands, how many of you think that we still need to give first fruit offering? Okay, couple. How many of you guys think that we need to give tithe? Okay. How many of you guys think that we are not obligated to give any of these offerings? How many of you guys don't know? What are the hands that are not? Don't care? Okay, that's good, because that's why we're here, right? That's why we are here to learn, right? Here's the most important thing, though, right? It doesn't matter what you think is right. It doesn't matter what I think is right. It matters what Jesus says is right. What God says is right in the Bible, right? So we're going to look at the Bible together. So I don't put up verses usually in my service, so you guys can find the verses. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. I'm going to read for us. Matthew chapter 23:23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Here we see in the English word tithe. Right? If you look at the Greek word, actually literally means tithe as we know, giving 10%. Right? This passage is when Jesus was rebuking the scribes and Pharisees, who were like super, super religious group back in this time. Right? They had a role of governor and they had a role of pastor at the time. Right? And he is rebuking these people even though they're giving tithe. Because he says, these guys were really super religious and they were giving tithe to everything, right? Giving 10% in basically everything, mint, dill, right, whatever, etc., right? And they were very proud of themselves for giving tithe. Like they'll be like, "Oh, my sweet $500 that I'm giving tithe to, I love God." And they're putting in the basket, right? Showing to everybody. And after they give, like their, you know, shoulders kind of widen up. They walk like this. I give tithe. Right? And they were really proud of this because not everybody was practicing this, right? And Jesus says, you're supposed to do that. There's nothing to be proud of. You're supposed to do that. But then, you're neglecting more important things. You're neglecting justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Tithe is not something you should be proud of because you're supposed to do that. In that conversation, were the scribes and Pharisees obligated to tithe? Yes. Jesus says, yeah, you're supposed to tithe. You're supposed to do that. That's really basic. He wasn't surprised. He wasn't like praising them for tithing. He was like, yo, that's really basic of a believer, basic of people of God. Right? So you may be thinking, 10% is not too much. It's not too much. But think about it this way. Let's say I bought a Costco pizza, which is huge. They give you 8 slices, right? And then I paid for it, and I gave it to, right? I don't know, Eric, right? I was like, hey, this is pizza right here. Right? You can have it, right? But then, there's another kid next to him that is starving. Right? So I was like, hey, I'm going to take that one slice and give it to him. Now, is that unfair? Now, I bought it. I paid for it. Right? And I'm not even using it for myself. I'm using it to help other people. Right? Is that unfair? Can Eric say, hey, that's my pizza. You can't touch it. Right? It belongs to me. Right? That sounds more unreasonable, right? Now, 8 slices. Out of 8 slices, 1 slice is what? 12.5%, right? Yeah, I'm Asian, I'm good at math, right? 12.5%, right? Yeah. Even 12.5% we think is, yeah, it's reasonable because I pay for it. Here's the thing. God gave us everything we have. And God even gave us this universe, this earth to live in. God gives us this air for free. All the wealth that you guys have, God gave them to you. Now, God doesn't need money, right? God is the owner of everything, right? God doesn't need money. But the offering that we give, He uses it for the expansion of His kingdom. He uses it to help others through the church. He uses it for missions, ministry, whatever. I'm not going to go into details of how the offerings are used. Not all your offerings go to pastors, I promise you. Right? Then I'll be living in a mansion. But I ain't. Right? Yeah. Only some portions go to the pastors. Everything else, God is using that for His ministry. Now, is that unreasonable and unfair? It's not. It's not. And what God wants is not money, actually. God wants is our heart. Jesus is saying, there are more important things out there than tithe. And tithe is very minimum. It's very basic for His people. So the answer to the question, do we need to give tithe as Christians living in 21st century? Jesus says, yeah. It's very basic of His believers to tithe. Now, when do we give offering? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 to 2, I'll read it for us. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, this is Paul speaking, so you also are to do, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper so that there will be no collecting when I come. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and he gave the same instruction to the churches in Galatia. So it applies to all churches. And Paul is one of the top figures in the New Testament, as you guys know. In theology and church leadership. Even Peter, who is a right-hand man of God, right-hand man of Jesus, whatever you call it, right? He got scolded by Paul when he wasn't living out in the right way. Right? That shows that Paul has authority and spiritual leadership of the New Testament. And this Paul is saying, as Christians, for the Sunday gathering, we need to set aside an offering to give. Now, if you look at the Greek word for the set aside in this text, it's actually called tithemi, right? Which is the word tithe comes from. Right? Interesting. Right? Tithe is actually setting aside. Right? This set aside is not just pulling your wallet on Sunday when the offering comes. It's not just pulling out your wallet and see, oh, I have $1 bill, so I'm going to give $1 bill. It's not that. Or it's not that you're coming on Sunday and your parents give you offering money and you put that in. That's not what the setting aside is. Setting aside is throughout the week, you count the blessings that God has given us, and out of the thankfulness, we're storing it up to give on Sunday. That's what biblical term of offering on Sunday look like. So there is tithe, a separate thing. That's the bare minimum. That's the basic. But this offering, this setting aside, is a complete different thing. This is an extra. This is an extra that you count your blessings and give out of joy. Now, how much should we tithe then? How much should we set aside? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6, 8, which is our passage today. It says in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You are to give freely, however much that you can give cheerfully. We saw that 10%, which is tithe, that's very minimum. That's a basic that all believers have to do. And anything else out of the 90%, you give however much your heart desire, with joy, cheerfulness. Not under compulsion, not under, you know, because somebody says so, but out of joy. But what if you say, what if you think, man, what if my heart doesn't desire even to give 10%? Then what do I do? Then what do I do? Well, in that case, you ought to ask another question to yourself. Do you believe that God is a provider? Do you actually believe in the Church of Christ? Do you actually believe Jesus? Are you really a believer? Are you really a children of God? That's a question you ought to ask if you think 10% is too much. Because as Christians, we know we are not only called to just give money to God. God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart, right? That's what I say. Romans chapter 12, 1. It says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We are not called to only give money to God. We're called to give our bodies, our whole life to God. Why? Because Romans 6:13, it says, God has brought us from death to life. Literally, God gave us everything that we see and unseen. He has given everything that we need. And on top of that, God has given His very best, His own Son, Jesus, so that He can buy us from death to life. That's why we're not only called to give money, we're to give our whole life, our bodies, as living sacrifice. He gave us everything. So everything that we own, it's not actually ours. It is God's. And there is a famous phrase, blessed be your name, and I preached about it, I think, 2 weeks ago when I was talking about Job. God gives and He takes away. And it's not unfair, because everything belongs to Him. God is telling us, hey, I give you everything. I give you everything, literally everything, even my Son. So give me 10% so I can bless you more. It's not that because He needs 10% of your income. It's not that because He needs your money. But so that He can bless you in a way that you can join in His kingdom work. That's a privilege, right? And if you ask me how much, or how do I do offering as a pastor? I do the exact same thing too, right? I give tithe, right? And my wife actually, you know, pays for everything. because Sunday I'm pretty busy. But, you know, I actually follow the Old Testament example. I give first fruit offering too. Right? So, not because it was required, because, you know, just to make sure that my love for God is greater than my love for money. Right? Just to make sure that my love for money is not disturbing my faith. Relying on God, right? So in high school, I flipped burger for like 3 years, 2 years, right? And, you know, I tithed, right? And I gave my first check to God, which was, I think, $200-something, because, you know, back in that day, that was a lot, because I didn't get paid like 16 an hour, I got paid like 8 an hour, right? And there was no AC in where I worked, right? And then I had other like jobs, like I did pretty well in SAT, so I tutored at an academy. Right? And then I worked in Korea as an English teacher. Right? And I, you know, worked at a dental office, and I worked at a pastor, whatever. Wherever I went, the first paycheck, I gave everything to God. And then I tithed as well. Even though, like youth kids know, right? But even back then, when I made money out of, you know, selling drugs, like back in the day, I even tied to that, right? I don't know why, I wasn't even a Christian back then, but I did tie, right? But then here's the thing though, right? Even though I gave that much ever since I was young, I never starved a single meal. I was never on the street. Right? I always had clothes to wear. Right? I never lacked anything. God provided my every need. And I saw that. So giving offering however much your heart desires. But if you are confused, right, just follow OT example. That's fine too. That's fine too. But don't think too low about giving offerings, because it is a basic, fundamental, and crucial part of believer's life, especially tithing. So first question, do we have to give offerings? Do we have to give tithe? Yeah. As a believer, yeah, we need to. Second question, is money evil? Is being rich bad? Which is a lot of, I think, question that we need to answer, especially living in America. Who here likes money? Who here hates money? Let's do that. Nobody hates money. Everybody likes money. Everybody wants to kind of be wealthy and comfortable and rich. But then, like I said earlier, doesn't matter what you think is right, doesn't matter what I think is right, it matters what the Bible says is right, right? So what does the Bible say about wealth? To put it up front, it's pretty negative about it all. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 to 24 says this, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.'" Right? You guys probably heard this a lot. So is being rich a bad thing? Is being rich a bad thing? Is being wealthy bad? Not necessarily, but what Jesus is saying here is, it is a huge temptation. It is a huge temptation when you're wealthy, when you're rich. If this wealth that you've gotten from God is used for the kingdom of God, then it can be a good thing, right? That's what we give offering in the first place. But if the money is used for something else, yeah, it could be a bad thing. That's why it's a huge temptation. It is not the money itself that determines whether or not it's good or bad. It's the usage and the heart behind the usage that determines whether or not it's good or bad. However, the Bible does say this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So what does it mean? Love for money is evil. Money itself doesn't determine whether or not it's good or bad. But love for money is evil. When the love for money becomes greater than our love for God, everything about that wealth that we have becomes evil. That's why it's a huge temptation. Because people with a lot of wealth, it is harder to let that go. It is so much harder to let that go. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. You guys probably know this pretty well too. Right? It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then verse 24, it says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." That's what Jesus says. You cannot serve God and money. When we live on this world, it'll come down to that. Either you love God and serve God, or you love money and serve money. Especially here in America, especially here in this Bay Area. I mean, if some of you guys, I mean, a lot of you guys probably went to mission in India with our church. If you go to those places in the third world, countries for missions, you can tell their faith is so much more pure than our faith. Because they're not serving two masters. They're serving only one. They're serving God. And that's why setting aside offering throughout the week, offering tithe, and even offering the first fruit, is actually good for us. It's not only good for the kingdom of God, but it's good for us. It is good for our souls. That is why offering is a crucial part of a believer. And a lot of churches won't say this, right? Because it's a sensitive topic about money. Why? Because this country is a capitalistic country, right? We serve money here. That's why talking about money is kind of like banned. But it is in the Bible. It is what Jesus taught, right? Because unless we let go of the love for the money, we cannot truly become the followers of Christ. We cannot truly live as His disciples. We are fortunate to live in this part of the country. You're super wealthy, right? Like, I envy you guys growing up with your smartphones. I got my first smartphone, which I bought with my own money, in junior year. Which was crappy back then. Didn't even have 3G. Yeah. But I only say that it's fortunate, not a blessing. It could be cursing to live in this part of the country. It may not be a blessing for some of us. Only fortunate. I've seen many quote-unquote Christians in my life. There were a lot of rich folks that I saw. right? Especially when I was in college, because they came from Korea, international students, they get allowance from their parents, you know, like, their parents are hecka rich in Korea. That's why they're here, right? And there are people like me, right? Who grew up with, you know, not much money, grew up poor. And you would think that these rich people would be using their wealth for mission funding. These wealthy Christians. You would think that these wealthy Christians would use their wealth for the kingdom of God, for mission funding, for, I don't know, for ministry, taking care of others. More, right? But then what I saw growing up, surprising part is people who struggle with wealth, who don't have much, they're the ones that give more for the kingdom of God. They're the ones that are willing to share with others, take care of their younger ones, to fund people for mission because they can't go themselves, because they don't have enough money. These people were more blessed in my eyes. And it's actually so much easier to trust and give all to Christ when we don't have much. And that is why Jesus says, it is hard for the rich people to enter into the kingdom of God. And he doesn't lie. That's why living here could be a blessing, but it could be also cursing. It is actually a blessing to be poor in this life and rich in the eternal life. That is blessing. But I'm not saying, right, go out and become poor. Right? That's not what I'm saying. Right? I'm not saying, hey, strive to be poor. That's not what I'm saying. Right? What I'm saying is, don't fall in love with money. Don't fall in love with money. Do you know how we can tell if we love God or we love money? Do you know how we can tell if we love money more than God? It's through the offering. When you give, tithe, is there a slightest thought in your mind, man, I could have used that money for something else. I could have bought a new shoes. Right? I could have bought a new car. I don't know, whatever you guys bought, shop. I could have went out to eat some lobsters with that. Right? If there's a slightest chance in your mind that you're thinking these as you're giving, then that's a warning sign. You love money more than God. You think that money belongs to you. You think you're God, not God is God. You see, in our passage, God loves cheerful givers because God gave us everything cheerfully first. Even death of his son, he did it out of joy. Right? So that through his sacrifice, we can be invited into his kingdom. We can be invited into his family. He gave first cheerfully, and that is why God loves cheerful givers. And this offering is not something that God wants us to do because he needs it, but because it is good for us. Because it is good for our soul, good for our faith. So if you have income, please tithe. Tithe is a basic. 10% is basic. If you're getting allowance, right? Tithe. Man, tithe. Doesn't matter how big, how small, tithe. Right? If you, I don't know, you don't have a steady income, you don't have allowance, you don't have a part-time job, youth kids, but you like go to your grandma sometimes and she gives you lots of money. Right? Tithe! That's your income, right? That's your income. Don't just take money on Sunday from your parents and you think you're giving offering. No. That's your parents giving offering. You are not giving offering. So tithe. That is a very basic and minimum. And as we reflect throughout the week about blessings that God has done in your life, you feel like, yeah, man, God has blessed me so much this week. If that 90% you want to give, give cheerfully, not out of compulsion, but cheerfully. And I promise you, if you make this tithe, cheerful giving as your lifestyle, at least for the youth group, starting at young age, I promise that you will experience the amazing provision of God throughout your lifetime. And your faith and dependency on God will grow and be stable. Because giving offering is not only good for the kingdom of God, but it's actually good for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you have given to us. You have given us house to live. You have given us food to eat. You have given us clothes to wear. You have given us a family. You have given us new life. You have given us air to breathe. You have given us everything that we see and unsee. And Lord, I cannot help but to thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord. Lord, throughout our life, we pray. Lord, would you help us to serve you, not serve money? Would you help us to love you, not love money? Would you help us to give cheerfully so that we can join in this privilege of the kingdom work that you are doing? Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.